Hey, good morning. We are so glad that you are here today. And Trey walked up and said, "You know you're not preaching today." I said, "Yeah, I know. But I need to do a little bit of an introduction to Brother Jeremy this morning. But we are so glad that you are here today. Thank you so much. Great crowd. And we're just really glad that you are here today. So here we are on a very special day. And today we'll be licensing Brother Jeremy Bennett into the gospel ministry. And what I found out is that a lot of people didn't know what that meant. I mean, some of the deacons going, "We've never heard of this before. What is this?" Well, when I was a lot younger, was called to preach. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, I found myself being asked to be the pastor of this church. And so about 2 or 3 weeks after that, my pastor said, "You know, Dwayne, if you're going to be a pastor, you probably ought to be like licensed, you know." And I said, "Oh, okay." And so that's what happened to me. And so on a Sunday night at First Baptist Church of Warrensburg, I was allowed to preach the message. And then they presented me with a certificate of license. And then the pastor prayed for me. And so that's what I was like going on. And I found out that a lot of people didn't know that's what licensing meant. And so someone asked and said, "Well, what's the difference between licensing and ordination?" And the answer is a lot. Short and simple is this. What we do today is we put our endorsement on Jeremy's ministry as a preacher. Now, I hope he'll come in and tell just a little bit of how this all happened. But it was the week of Caitlin's wedding that he walked into my, and we had chatted about, you know, off and on through our 12-year relationship. And but he came in one day and he was sitting there and he said, "You know, if I'm this sounds so familiar, doesn't it? If we're going to do this preaching thing, you know, maybe the church ought to license me or something." And I said, "That is a great idea, you know." And of course, I never died. There we go. And so anyway, that's when we started talking about this. And lo and behold, today is the day. So again, the licensing that we do today is an endorsement on our belief. And I thought the best thing to do was for me to read the licensing. And here's what it says. This is to certify Jeremy Bennett, who has given evidence that God has called him into the gospel ministry, was licensed to preach the gospel as he may have opportunity and to exercise his gifts in the work of the ministry by the Dorsville Baptist Church at Harrisburg, Illinois, on the 7th of April, 2024. And that pretty much explains what we're doing today. You know, Jeremy's been preaching now for a couple of years. He's gone most Sundays somewhere preaching at churches that don't have a pastor. He's been filling the pulpit. And so we are endorsing him and saying, "We believe in this man and we believe in his ministry." Then when you come to the ordination and somebody said, "Well, you know, why aren't we ordaining him?" He's not ready yet. You know, that's a very big commitment. I like to think licensing has more to do with the preaching of the gospel and ordination has more to do with pastoring. And he's not there yet and may not get there. This may be, he may be an itinerant preacher. That's an old term, but still so valid. And for years, he may just go from church to church to church or here and teach the gospel. That may be where it is. But when and if he's ready to be ordained, and the church so wills, then we will ordain him. So it is my pleasure. We've walked together. He's been back in church now for about 12 years, and we have been very close friends. He's bought my lunch and breakfast more times than I can tell you. I love it when he says, "Want to go to breakfast in the morning?" I'm going, "Yeah," because that means we're going to probably the barn or Cracker Barrel, and I'm not paying. So it's a great day. It's a great thing. It really is. So would you please welcome to the pulpit my dear friend and my brother in Christ, Jeremy Bennett.
Give you a hug.
You got to give me a hug.
All right. Good morning. I have to tell you, it has already been an emotional day. Christy and I was crying over our toast this morning at breakfast. Well, today is all about surrendering. That's what the message is going to be about. All about surrendering. And in that last song that we sang, I'll Make Room, there's lyrics in that song that says this: here is where I lay it down. This is my surrender. And then it goes on, and I love this part. It says, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do. I love that. Amen. And so today I'm standing here to say, this is where I'm laying it down. This is my surrender that God has had on my life. He's had a call now for a while, and I've been ignoring it. My uncle back there will tell you I'm pretty hard-headed, or I used to be. But I've been ignoring God and His call now for a while. But today, I stand here to say this: God, I will make room for you. I will make room for you, God, to do whatever it is you want to do in my life. And so, I've titled my message today that it's time. It's time. And so with that title, it's time, it begs this question: it's time for what? And church, I can tell you it's time to surrender. It's time to surrender. And listen, this message is not just for me today, but it's for you too. It's time to surrender. And I want to talk real quick. I have to give you a little bit of a testimony this morning before I get into actually preaching a message. But I want to tell you about five times in my life where I have surrendered. Now, I need you to understand something, that God is calling constantly. It's a nonstop call. And in 1982, God was calling Jeremy Bennett. I was 10 years old. And I remember it very well. It was the summer of 1982. And I was at my mother's apartment, and I was at her kitchen table, and there was a visiting pastor. I couldn't tell you his name. But he was sharing about his church and trying to get us to go and visit his church. But before he left, he said this, and he was talking to my mother. He said, Linda, I want to ask you a question. If you were to die tonight, it's the big question. We Christians know that. He said, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you would go? Well, my mother, she answered with confidence and told of when it was. She asked Jesus to come into her heart. Well, then he looks at me and he says, Jeremy, I want to ask you the same question. He said, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you would go? And here's the way it went. All I could do is sit there and cry. Because I knew. You see, my grandfather was a pastor, and I went to his church for many years, and I heard him at the end of every service offer an invitation. And all I had to do, there was many times I can remember, there were many times where I felt like I needed to go forward. But fear kept me in my seat. All I had to do was walk down to my grandfather, and I wouldn't do it. But let me tell you something. I have no doubt in my life that on that summer night in 1982, God orchestrated a moment in which that pastor would come to visit our house, and I would eventually pray to ask Jesus to come into my heart. I surrendered for the first time to God. And I know as I stand here today that there are people in this church house, people listening through the way of Facebook and on the radio, there are people today that need to surrender to the call that God has on their life for the first time. I want to fast forward now to 2010. This was a year in which there was a huge turn. A huge turning point for me, and it was the year I finally forgave my father. 28 years, I will tell you, as a Christian, 28 years I held a grudge. 28 years I would not forgive my father. And finally, on a Friday night in 2010, I went to see my father. He had been sick. They sent him home. And I went there, and when I got there, my sister was there, and she was with him, and I noticed my father was crying. He was clearly upset. And so I looked at my sister, and I said, "What's going on?" And she said, "Brother, Dad's trying to make some things right." And he said, "Jeremy, I love you. I have always loved you, and I need for you to forgive me." And that night, I finally forgave my father. Now, I want you to know something. Just as God orchestrated the moment at my mother's kitchen table in 1982, on 2010, God orchestrated the moment with my father on that Friday night. And I finally forgave my father. You will hear as I get into the Word where it's time for someone to finally forgive today. And then let's fast forward two more years to 2012. I had what Brother Dwayne calls a white flag moment. See, we got a white flag over there hanging on the wall, and it's about surrendering. It's about giving up. Letting go and letting God. I had a white flag moment in my life. I said, "I cannot do life the way I'm doing it anymore. I have got to get back into church. I've got to be taking my family to church." I knew. So in 2012, I rededicated my life. It wasn't here. It was in the office at work. You see, God works in all kinds of places. He works at my mother's kitchen table. He works at the office. I rededicated my life in 2012, and I haven't missed very many Sundays since then. Like Brother Dwayne's mentioned, maybe some of you haven't seen me here much, but I've been in church. I've been trying really hard to be obedient to God. And so, in 2017, I surrendered again. I was approached about serving here at Dorsville as a deacon. And my first response was, "Nope, you don't want me. I know how I've lived. I know, you know, all about me. You don't want me to serve as a deacon." And I actually wrote a letter to Donnie Billman to share with the deacons, telling why, you know, how I appreciated the opportunity, but this is why you don't want me. So a little time passed, and I was approached again. And I finally surrendered to God's call on my life to serve as a deacon. And so then, we fast forward from 2017 to now. And I stand here today to say, I surrender one more time, God. I surrender to what it is you have planned for me. I surrender, God. I have to tell you just a little bit more before I get into my message. There was a time in which I was at home by myself. In the middle of all this, I can't tell you when exactly what year it was. But in this long span of time, after I came back to church in 2012, somewhere in there, I was at home in my family room by myself. Raised hands in the air, and I looked to God and I said, "God, if you want me to preach, you place it on Brother Dwayne's heart to ask me." I haven't shared this with very many people. walking out those doors. One Sunday morning, I reached out to shake his hand, and he kind of held on to it and pulled me towards him, and he said, "You ever thought about preaching?" So a couple thoughts came to mind as I walked to my vehicle that day. One, I'm in trouble. You know, and God, you're really there. And you answered my prayer. So I can tell you, a little time passed. I'm at home again, same spot in the family room. Hands go up again, out loud, talking to God. God, now listen, if you can catch a different word. I'm like, God, if you really want me to preach, place it on Brother Dwayne's heart to ask me again. Now, I'm telling you, this is how God works. My job, you know, I cook. And I run a restaurant. And we had a catering, still do have a catering business, but back then we were catering a lot. And we were at St. Stephen's on the Hill in El Dorado, preparing to cater a wedding. And I look up, and Dwayne and Judy standing there. And I saw, "Oh, you doing the sermon? You doing the service?" "No, no, we're here for the wedding." He said, "But we're just an hour early." So we had an opportunity to talk. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. Dwayne looks at me and he says, "So, have you given any more thought to that question?" I played dumb and I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You know, about preaching." And so I said, "Buddy, we need to talk." So we met in his office, and that's when an amazing friendship began with me and Dwayne. And one of the first questions that day, I don't know if you remember, was this. I'm like, "Dwayne, has my mother been talking to you?" "You had to know my mom." Dwayne says she prayed me back into church. But see, God has been calling Jeremy Bennett for a long time. And that call started back in 1982 when I finally surrendered and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and into my life. Well, I want you to know, church, that call doesn't stop. You go back to when it was you asked Christ to come into your life, and God's been calling ever since. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. And so today, I surrender, God. I surrender. It's time to surrender. And in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, it says this. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." I want to reword verse 6 there just a little bit to say it this way. In all your ways, surrender to Him. Surrender to God, and He will make straight your paths. That word surrender, it means to submit to authority. You know, we automatically think when you surrender, you give up. Well, yeah, that's what you do. You give up and you let God go to work in your life. So that word submit, it means to yield or to get out of the way. And church, let me tell you something. I believe that many of us here today, we need to give way to God in our life. We need to give way to Him, and we need to let Him carry out His plan for us. I guarantee you, His plan for me is a lot better than my plan for me. In James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says, "Therefore submit to God. Submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And I love this where it says in verse 8. We've already heard it this morning. In verse 8, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Man, church, I tell you, it's time to draw near to God. It's time for many of us. It's time. That's the title of today's message. It's time. And listen, it's time for us to draw near to God. It's time. It's time to let go. We've heard that cute little saying, it's time to let go and let God. Well, there's a tremendous amount of truth in that. We need to let go and we need to let God work in our lives. So what is it we need to let go of? Well, look at James chapter 4, verse 4. He says, adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So whoever wants to be the world's friend becomes God's enemy. It's time to let go of the world. And listen, you're looking at a guy who knows a little bit about clinging to the world and what it has to offer. 2012, you heard me say it. I rededicated my life. I've let go of much of the world. You know, I was chasing it. I was chasing the dollar. I was wanting bigger and better. Church, I can't stress enough this morning, based on my own personal experience, that it's time that you let go of the world and all of its enticements. You know, the devil, he tries to lure us away from God with those things, with the things of the world. Let me just tell you something. I figured this out as I was preparing this week. I was thinking about 1982 when I came to know Jesus. And then I was thinking about those 28 years that I held bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness in my heart. Well, let me tell you, in 1982, the devil went to work on trying to destroy Jeremy Bennett and his relationship with his earthly father and his relationship with his heavenly father. Church, Paul says in Ephesians 4:27, do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give him an opportunity, because he will seize it. He wants to drive a wedge between you and God. And if he can do that, then it looks as if he's winning. It's time to let go of the world, all of its enticements. And listen, for some here today, it's time. It's time to let go of the past. It's time to let go of the past. It's time to forgive those who need it. And it's time to ask those for forgiveness that you need to ask. It's time, church. In Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32, Paul says this, all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. And in verse 32, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Church, it's time. I can't tell you enough. I can't say it enough this morning that it's time to let it go. Whatever it is you keep dragging up. You see, I know it. I know how to do it. I'm an expert. I got 28 years of being able to blame everything on my father. Anything that was wrong in my life, oh, it was because of Dad and what he did. You see, I kept going and pointing to the past. It's time to let it go. It's time to forgive. One of the verses in the Bible that really smacked me right up against the face one day was Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. I don't know if it's on there or not. But it's Jesus saying, if you want to be forgiven, you must forgive others. If you want your Heavenly Father to forgive your sins, you must forgive others theirs. Now that's a truth. And so if you're sitting here today, you're listening on the radio, you're tuning in by Facebook, and there's someone you need to forgive, you better get after it. Yeah. Don't you hesitate. I'll never forget the day my mother called me at work and she said, Jeremy, I forgave your father. And I'm like, you did what? And she said, I called him up and I forgave him. I'm like, well, Mom, that's good. That's real good. And then she says, you need to forgive him too. And I said what I always say. I have. I've done that a long time ago. You know, that was a lie. But my mother, you know, the one that my father cheated on, she calls him up and forgives him. You know, listen, if you want to be forgiven your sins, Jesus Christ says you better forgive others theirs. It's a truth. And I've learned it. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, Paul again speaking, he says, forget what lies behind and reach forward to what is ahead. He says, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. He's reminding us there that we need to let the past be the past. Put it behind you and get yourself focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for some here today, it's time to commit. It's time to commit everything to the Lord. In Proverbs 16:3, it says this, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. I like to change that word commit to dedicate. It's time to dedicate your life to serving the Lord. And you heard me say that date, 2012, was when I rededicated my life. I know that there's probably some in here today that need to rededicate their life. 2012, I said, God, I cannot no longer do this life the way I'm doing it. I rededicate my life to serving you. And I know there's some that are here today that need to do that. First Kings chapter 8, verse 61 says, let your heart be completely devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and to keep His commands. I want to reword that too, to say it this way. Let your heart be completely dedicated to the Lord, our God. And so I'm very near the end. The next thing I think for some of us here today, it's time to be revived. It's time to be revived. We talk about revival all the time. We want revival to break out at Dorsfield Baptist. We want revival to break out in Saline County. We want revival to break out in the state of Illinois. We want revival to break out across our nation and around the world. Well, I don't believe it's ever going to happen until revival breaks out in Jeremy Bennett and revival breaks out in each one of you. In Psalm 85:6, they pray a prayer to God. Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your faithful love, Lord, and give us your salvation. In Revelation 3, verses 1 and 2, Jesus speaking, it's the letter to the church in Sardis, and he says this, I know your works, you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Be alert and strengthen what remains, for I have not found your works complete before my God. Listen, church, our works are not complete. And we need to strengthen what remains. We need to get after it. We need to wake up. We need to come back to life. And that is what to be revived means, to come back to life. I go to these smaller churches and I'm thinking, my goodness, you're this close to death. And I want to do something to try to help it and to fix it. But I know if I go in there and I start telling them everything they're doing wrong, it's not going to go well. But church, I can't get past the idea that we have got to be revived. We've got to come back to life. We have got to wake up. Look around at the world that you're living in. It's time for the church to wake up. It's time for the church to come to our senses. It's time for us to get out there and to preach and teach. It's time for Jeremy Bennett to get out there and to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, church, revival starts with each of us as spiritually revived individuals. When we humble ourselves, we seek God in His Word, in worship, and in prayer. And so, it's time, church. It's time to surrender to God's call. It's time to let go of the world. Whatever it is you're holding on to, it's time to let go and let God. It's time to let go of the past. It's time to recommit or rededicate your life. It's time to wake up. It's time to revive. Be revived. So, church, how would you answer that question? It's time for what? You see, everybody in here has got an answer to that question. Some of us say it's time to surrender to preach. Some of us say, oh, today's the day I'm going to choose Jesus. It's time. Some of us here today need to say it's time for me to rededicate my life to serving God. But everybody has an answer to that question. Maybe it's a simple one. It's time for me to commit to serving at Dorsville. Or your church, wherever you're from. So, one more question this morning. Will you surrender to God's call on your life? As that song we sang, will you make room for God? Will you make room for Him in your life to do whatever He wants to do? Will you surrender to Him today? We're going to have an invitation song here in just a minute, and I want you to listen to the words of this song. I want you to, as you stand out there and you sing this song, I want you to sing it as a prayer to God. And the words go like this: here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all. Surrendering all. Find me here, Lord, as you draw me near. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. Are you desperate for God? Are you desperate for Him to be working in your life today? Man, church, I tell you what. This is what we call our time of invitation. And we invite you to come forward and to say, today, I say it's time. Today, I surrender. I want you to know that Christy and I, we had a pretty tearful moment this morning. Because her mother is struggling. And see, here's the thing. We need to give her to God. We need to do the best job we can in trying to provide and help her, but we need to surrender her to God. And I know there's people in here that's got struggles. They've got some things going on in their life. And listen, church, we need to finally surrender it. We need to lay it down at the feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't need to go back to it. We don't need to pick it back up. There's people here I know that need to surrender something totally to God today. Will you do that? It's time. It's time. I hope if there's anyone here that has never had a point in their life where they've asked Jesus to come into their heart, right now God's saying it's time to you. I've been praying for you all week that God would speak. If you were to die tonight, do you know where you go? Maybe it's time for someone to rededicate their life to serving. If that's how you answered that question, during our time of invitation, Brother Brent and Brother Dwayne, he's sitting right here, they would love to have an opportunity to talk with you and to pray with you. However you answered that question, would you leave it at the feet of Jesus today? Would you surrender? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you so much, Father, for this day. I thank you for never giving up on me, God. I thank you for never giving up on everyone here. I thank you for the call that you placed on my life in 1982, and I thank you for the continuous call since then. Father, I don't know what you have in store for me from this point on, but may I say I look forward to it. It feels so good to be able to stand and bring honor and glory to you. To be able to open your holy word and to be able to share it. Father, I pray right now that if there's anyone here that needs to make a decision, I know there are, that you would speak to them in only a way that you can through your Holy Spirit. Help them to know, God, it's time. We love you, Father. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his precious name I pray. Amen. If you need to make a decision, now's the time.